Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 17th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Josh Swissman, a founding partner with the Strategy Organization, on the near and long-term future of the gaming industry. This week's podcast is sponsored by IGT, with its newest MLP theme, Prosperity Link, which is a hit and performing it over three times versus house, according to the Eilers June report. Learn more at igt.com/prosperity. For what I can't recall. Josh Swissman is a former gaming executive with deep experience in marketing after more than 15 years with MGM Resorts and Station Casinos. As a founding partner of the Strategy Organization, which is focused on developing strategies that drive meaningful results, enhance customer loyalty, and create unique experiences, Swissman is a much sought-after consultant to gaming companies across the U.S. and Canada. He gives his thoughts about the recovery from COVID, the looming recession and inflation, and the spread of iGaming across the land-based casino world. He spoke with GGB Managing Editor Jess Marquez at his office in Las Vegas in August.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. I am Jess Marquez, the Managing Editor of GGB. Pleased to be joined here today by Josh Swissman. He's a founding partner and consultant with the Strategy Organization based here in Las Vegas. And we're just going to talk a little bit about the industry today. Josh, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jess. I'm happy to be here.
So I wish it was kind of, a more joyous kind of vibe here. You know, everyone's kind of on eggshells a little bit. Everyone's kind of waiting, I guess, waiting and see. That's kind of the motto right now. High energy prices, inflation, all that kind of stuff. In terms of gaming, obviously, unfortunately, no industry is 100% recession-proof, but has been pretty resilient as of so far. Profits are still pretty strong. Visitation is still pretty high. Just kind of, it's very general, but just kind of give me your assessment of the situation and kind of, I know you probably, with your clients and everyone else, you've got people asking you questions like this all day, but what do you think in terms of, do you see the other shoe dropping proverbially, or kind of what's your take on the next 6 months or so?
Yeah, that's an interesting way to put it. It's pretty apropos because, all these operators, whether we're talking about here on the Las Vegas Strip or, regionally around the country, they're all feeling and seeing pretty decent results, but they also see what's on the horizon with these more macroeconomic factors that are sort of dark clouds hanging over the positive results that most of them are seeing right now. And so what I'm hearing and the way that it seems to be unfolding from where I sit, at least based on the conversations I'm having, it feels like the Strip and other big destination resorts that typically have, higher-end customer base, they are still performing, they're looking pretty strong. They're not seeing much in the way of their typical leading indicators that would show any differently. And so, that's not to say that they're not talking about it. I think everyone quietly, and some not so quietly, right, are planning for what's potentially to come with, the recession that is looming out there and the high energy prices and everything that goes along with all of those things and then some. But they're not feeling it yet. And I think as, you start to listen to earnings calls, we're right in the middle of earnings season here, you'll hear relatively positive remarks, I would assume, from previous performance metrics. I think you'll hear, though, the tone start to turn a little bit and become a bit more somber as people look forward, if for no other reason than just to help address concerns and thoughts that the Wall Street analysts might be having, but probably not a ton put in place yet in terms of plans. Now, if you look at the more regional properties or the more local properties, that typically benefit from perhaps lower level customers that spend less, but also come a lot more frequently, they are definitely starting to feel the impact of some of these macroeconomic factors that we're talking about. That's not to say that we're anywhere near what we saw previously a couple of years ago around the pandemic, but they are starting to see growth start to taper off and in some cases turn into some small decreases. And so I think that those leaders in those types of environments running those types of properties are not only planning for what's to come, but are probably beginning to enact some of those plans as well. So it's a bit of a spectrum at this point.
And kind of going off of that a little bit, looking at it from the perspective of both the big strip mega companies versus the kind of more regional smaller operators, if we're looking at it from the perspective of things are going relatively well right now, but we don't know what's to come, say, in the short to near future, what, in terms of your perspective, what would you tell both the big operators and smaller operators, things that they can do to kind of get ahead of that? Or if you were consulting them, what would you kind of advise them from, like I said, both the big perspective and the small? Because it's, I would assume it's very different in terms of the plans you have to put in.
Yeah, well, just based on the sheer magnitude of you know, one property sort of type compared to the other, the plans are likely to be different. And my best advice would be to look back. You have a great case to look at from just a couple years ago from the pandemic. And a lot of operators were caught relatively flat-footed in the early days of the pandemic just because so much was happening so quickly. And they just, you know, they felt like they were getting whipsawed in different directions, you know, from one day to the next. Mm-hmm. But that sort of feeling of, you know, just being buffeted out there on a stormy sea, you know, quickly, and this is across the board, right, quickly turned into a sense of nimbleness and almost sort of cat-like reflexes to be able to stick and move based on what the broader environment around the world mm-hmm. was throwing at them. So I wouldn't lose that same sort of scrappiness, if you will, or that nimbleness that everybody had to develop in a relative short time. Don't let that muscle memory fade away because we may need it in some way, shape, or form. Maybe not across the board. Maybe it doesn't feel the same, you know, on the strip as it does, you know, out on the plains. But everybody will need to be very reactive in order to remain successful. You know, coming out of the pandemic, everyone has enjoyed great growth. Mm-hmm. And the smart operators are being very judicious about really ramping up expenses again in line with that growth for a number of different reasons. And so I think that judiciousness and that really sort of fresh set of eyes to their operating model that they all had to develop after the pandemic will serve those operators well.
And in terms of the, because obviously, you know, the industry doesn't stop. There's new projects, expansions, renovations. How do you think, what do you think the next few months looks like for those?
Well, different answers for different sort of phases of projects. Mm-hmm. If we're talking brand new projects, you know, you may see that slow down a little bit just because the capital markets are what they are in these types of environments with interest rates going up and, you know, perhaps the lack of, or not the lack of, but decreasing access to capital. Not in dramatic you know, sort of fashion, but, you know, I'm starting to hear that as I talk to different folks out there that are at the early stages of certain projects or looking to acquire existing operations. For those projects that are well underway, you know, you think about the Fountain Blue or you think about the, you know, the MSG Sphere, just to draw on a couple that are coming out of the ground here in Vegas. I think those are, you know, that's just you know, straightforward, and they continue with the pace that they've been developing thus far, even before the pandemic. You know, they want to get open just as quickly now as they did 6 months ago And 6 months, 6 months from now, they'll probably want to open even faster than they do today. So I don't see anything in terms of existing construction projects slowing down all that much.
And what about meetings and conventions? That's always been a big sticking point. A lot of people have pointed to that as sort of one of the last reasons why the numbers haven't been quite to pre-COVID levels. So what's your take on that industry?
Two buckets, really. There's meetings and convention and international gaming customers, which we can talk about. But meetings and conventions, everyone knew that those were going to be slow to come back. They're just, particularly for big, like citywide conventions and even big corporate meetings that take place, those are planned years in advance sometimes. And so when you have everything grind to a halt like it did with the pandemic in the meetings and convention space, sometimes it takes a while to start that engine up again and to build up, traveling constituencies again. The bigger the show or the bigger the meeting, the longer it's going to take to ramp up. At this point, we've seen a lot of small meetings return. I think the pace of small group meetings is looking pretty positive. Medium-sized meetings are starting to come back, and even some of the bigger, even citywide conventions are really starting to come back to Vegas as well. I think the next big one is likely G2E in October. And, from everything that we're seeing and everything, all the conversations that I've had, it seems like G2E is going to be bigger and better than it was last year. Last year was obviously decreased numbers in terms of attendees and exhibitors, but we're growing from there. So all of those are great signs, in my opinion, and that meetings and convention business, because it books so far out into the future, is one of the really sort of early leading indicators that gaming companies often use, and Wall Street analysts and the like, to really track performance and future trajectory. So I think if you look at all of that, I think we're looking pretty good there.
And one thing about the Vegas market specifically is that's really, a big topic around town is sports stadiums and the expansion thereof. Part of the reason why the city kind of had such a great run over the last year or so was because of Allegiant Stadium.
Yes.
It obviously took a lot to get there, including some, public money and everything like that. But now that the A's are rumored to be eyeing the city, and now that the Oakview Group has a proposed NBA project as well, where do you see that affecting the market? And kind of, are you on the side of the fence that thinks that the city can sustain all of that growth, or where do you still fall on that?
Yeah. I mean, it does beg the question: how much is too much, and are we there yet? And boy, it seems like every time someone's raised that question over the last 5-6 years, the answer's been a resounding no. We're nowhere near there yet. I'd like to think that Vegas can sustain one and perhaps two more professional sports teams in the Valley. The beautiful thing about Las Vegas as it relates to professional sports is that we've proven to be, put the Strip and all the travelers that come to town to watch those games aside for a second, we've proven to be a pretty good sports town. And even though we are largely made up of citizens that come from other places for all sorts of different reasons, everyone is really in the community seem to wrap their arms around these professional sports teams.
I would say so.
So to me, that's obviously a very important ingredient. The other ingredient, which is incredibly important for us for a whole host of different reasons, is that the out-of-town visitation to these sporting events, because they want to see their home team play in Vegas, who wouldn't want to do that? That's been amazing too. And so, if you look at that balance of, and this is a totally unscientific way of looking at it, but just look at the crowd and look at the number of home team jerseys that you see out there. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, the number of visiting team jerseys that you see there. And It has been impressive, the amount of visitation that the professional sports teams have been able to generate. And so, if you think about it that way, and you use just the hotel room inventory as kind of a foil for professional sports teams in the Valley. You know, for decades now, people have said how much is too much in terms of hotel room inventory. And again, every time another 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 rooms is added to inventory, it has done nothing but grow the market in general. So, you know, I think we're in a pretty good place to see some growth tied to these one and potentially two sports teams that may come to the city. And, you know, we might not stop there. You know, there's been talks around, you know, a soccer team perhaps coming. And, you know, along with that comes another great venue or multiple venues to showcase events beyond just the sports events that they're built for in the first place. So I'm excited to see what shapes out there.
The cat's out of the bag. IGT's newest MLP theme, Prosperity Link, is a hit and performing at over triple versus House, according to Eilers' June report. Both partner themes feature the player favorite lock and respin bonus and the exciting free games bonus with either scatter or multiplier wilds. Prosperity Link will drive players to your floor with its popular game mechanics. Grab this exciting game while it's hot. Learn more at IGT.com/prosperity.
And so, now to kind of zoom all the way back out to yep. a 30,000 foot perspective. And you and I kind of talked about a couple of these things before we came on here, but you know, casinos are in a weird space now in the sense that they are competing for people's attentions on more than ever. Same with every other business, but casinos are among them. And you know, you have entertainment, online, immersive things, stuff like that. Should this have an effect on their marketing approach? And if so, in what ways do you think?
I'll even zoom out a little bit further than the marketing approach. And I'll just say, just Vegas and the gaming industry in totality has been competing for eyeballs and attention spans and wallets since the early days. Mm-hmm. That's why you look at places like Las Vegas and it has world-class dining and world-class shopping and world-class entertainment, world-class nightlife, and just world-class experiences in general. That is their way of continuing to evolve and continuing to stay relevant for the modern-day consumer, whether that consumer is initially driven by the gambling or not. And so, as you look towards, you know, the near future and maybe even further out, you know, you have the city, in the case of Las Vegas, reinventing itself again with all of the professional sports teams that we talked about, but casinos around the country more broadly continuing to reinvent themselves as they begin to focus on not only land-based operations, but now online operations, whether that's sports betting or online casino games, which is a pretty hot topic these days. And in my mind, that is just those operators and owners' way of keeping and maintaining relevancy in the eyes of the ever-evolving consumer.
So then kind of jumping off of that into iGaming, which is, as you said, is a huge topic. Seems like every story I do, no matter what the topic is, it's like, yeah, that's great, but iGaming, you know?
All roads lead to iGaming.
Yeah, sports betting, that's great, iGaming. So the interesting thing to me, though, is that it seems, at least from me, for a consumer's perspective, is that they're kind of been built up. And again, I think we talked about this a little bit before, but they've kind of been built up separately. Obviously, you have the traditional land-based brick-and-mortar operations. You have the digital iGaming operations. They don't seem, at least to me, to be totally coalescent thus far. I mean, you may have different opinions, but kind of talk a little bit about that dynamic for companies, kind of to mesh those two, and also what do you consider an effective approach to marrying the two sides?
For sure. And it's... I'll say even before I answer that question, it's still early days for yep. iGaming, online yep. sports betting in the States. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anybody says. Mm-hmm. even though some of these CEOs may seem embattled right now, it is still early innings. So I think that there's a lot to come in terms of the maturity of the overall marketplace. You know, I always look for comparables and, you know, examples to help sort of read the tea leaves, if you will. And all you have to do is look to Europe to see a great model of what the U.S. likely might become in terms of the proliferation of online sports betting and iGaming. It is pretty interesting that you have these very different sets of operators in the iGaming or online sports betting space. You have the land-based operators that are growing into the space, and then you have the, I'll say, the purpose-built companies, DraftKings, FanDuel. Yes. Those are obviously the two that come to mind, that were born within the interactive space. Mm-hmm. And man, those two types of companies operate incredibly differently. You have MGM and Caesars, and I'll just stick with those two, and we'll stick with FanDuel and DraftKings on the other side. MGM and Caesars really lead with their loyalty program, and they lead with that synergistic, omni-channel, bricks to clicks, I love that saying, ecosystem that they've created to really establish loyalty no matter how their customers want to engage with them, whether it's walking into one of their joints or logging into their app. Then on the other side of the coin, you have with DraftKings and FanDuel, two tremendously large, intelligent, well-built organizations that don't even have loyalty programs. So you have one set of companies that's leading with the loyalty program, and then you have one that just completely devalues it to the point where they don't even offer it. So look, I think that's natural. I don't see those two types of thought processes converging anytime soon. All that means to me is that there is a wide spectrum of customer types out there, and some really enjoy the loyalty program and building up that loyalty currency so they can, you know, save up for that trip to Vegas. And then there's a whole separate group of people out there that could care less about a loyalty program, and they may gravitate towards a DraftKings or a FanDuel for other reasons. A lot of reasons right now are tied to promotional activity, which I think will and has already started to sort of correct itself. That's normalizing a bit, but there's the broad appeal and the just the breadth of the types of different offerings, even amongst those four operators, I think goes to show that the market is pretty robust, and it's not a one size fits all. And once people start to look away from promotional spend and figure out other ways to continue to differentiate, I think that is where you'll start to see kind of the next phase of evolution of online sports betting and iGaming in the States.
And I'll get you out of here on this. And again, thank you for joining me today.
Sure.
But and this is a really difficult question to ask, especially right now, considering we just kind of talked a lot about these type of things. But both from your perspective at Strategy Organization and just, you know, as somebody who works in the industry, what are some of the things that you guys are looking forward to in the next 5 years or so?
Just in gaming in general?
Well, just in gaming and also both with Strategy Organization.
Sure. Okay. I'm really excited. I'll start in the online space.
Okay.
I'm really excited. Yeah, I alluded to that next wave of evolution in the interactive space. I think a lot of that is going to be led by content and led by really differentiated, very unique, attention-grabbing, engaging user experiences. And so I am incredibly excited to see what comes of both of those types of development. At the same time, I also am excited to see what shakes out in terms of the affiliate space. You mentioned marketing in a previous question. I think that the affiliate market is going to grow just so rapidly once people really start to harness the power of it, operators start to harness the power of it. And again, looking to Europe as a great sort of leading indicator, that's going to be a really tremendous place for growth as well. If I'm thinking about the land-based space, and this is broad across both destination type resorts as well as local type casinos, there's it feels like there's this evolution, and I am getting so tired of this word, but of immersive type attractions, things to draw a customer to casino A as opposed to casino B that likely don't have anything to do with the casino floor or the marketing that's going on, or the food and beverage that's being offered. A lot of people seem to be devoting a lot of their time and a lot of their wallet to putting themselves in the middle of these types of experiences to be transported and just wowed, and to be taken to a different place. I see that happening on the Strip. I see that happening in Oklahoma. I see that happening in a lot of different casinos that I've been spending time in lately. And I'm really excited to see what that continued development looks like and how technology enables these amazing types of experiences to be offered to the masses in the first place.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Josh. I really appreciate it again, and good luck to you, and thanks for being here with me.
Thanks, Jess. It's a pleasure.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast, sponsored by IGT and its newest MLP theme, Prosperity Link. It's a hit and performing at over 3 times versus house, according to Isla's June report. Discover more at igt.com/prosperity. To learn more about how the gaming industry is preparing for rough economic waters, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News and get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast. Be back.